My present job is editor of Michigan History Magazine, and I have always had an interest in history, but I've also trained as a writer. I have a journalism degree as well. So my job prior to Michigan History Magazine, however, was with the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame in Lansing. And I, you know, obviously as a woman, I had an interest in women's history before I took that job, but I certainly found it enhanced by my experience there.
Are you a Michigan native?
I am. I'm from Bay City originally, but I've lived in the Ann Arbor area for 35 years now.
Tell me a little bit more about your role at the magazine.
Well, our magazine is it's quite a venerable old title. It's been published since 1917.
Wow.
And it is the state's official history magazine. And it is not a scholarly publication. There's something like that in Michigan called Michigan Historical Review. This is a popular history magazine that's really edited for history buffs. And we presented six issues each year, a wide variety of topics. That cover different time periods and different parts of the state and the different people that make up the state.
And when you came up with the idea for this book, first, how did you come up with the book? And is it by chance because girls and women perhaps are underrepresented in history?
I certainly feel that. And I had written a prior book called Michigan Women in the U.S. Lighthouse Service, Ladies of the Lights. And that was about Michigan's female lighthouse keepers, of which there were more than 50. And there was a story in there where I was talking about the children of lighthouse keepers, story related to a female child named Maybelle Mason, who was the child of Orlo Mason, who was a lighthouse keeper in the Detroit River. And while her father was away from the lighthouse one day, she had the opportunity and really the pressing need to save a drowning man in the Detroit River. And I just thought that story was so astounding. She was a young teen, I think 12 or 13 at the time, and it basically rowed a boat for a mile to reach this drowning man and bring him and his boat back to safety at her light station. I just thought that was such a dramatic story for a young girl and a dramatic achievement. And that really was sort of the inspiration for, can I find more of these girls who did something amazing before they turned 20?
And why 20? How did you decide on the age?
Well, just making that distinction between girl and woman, between youth and adult.
And I was familiar with some of the females in the stories, but some were interesting surprises. Were any of them surprising to you?
Yes, I was aware of some, you know, as you mentioned, I was aware of some of the stories. Sarah Emma Edmonds, who is a famous Civil War figure, a girl who passed as a boy and enlisted in the Union Army. And then there were, you know, as I started to do my research, I uncovered others that I had never heard of. The girl diver of the Great Lakes, Fanny Baker, was one of those. She had grown up with a father who was a salvager, a person who ran a business salvaging the cargoes of ships that had wrecked in the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. And she was fascinated by what her father did. And as a young teen, she took to that job just like he did and ran her own business ultimately as a salvage diver.
How did you find these stories for the most part? Were you aware of some of them or was there a digging process?
As I mentioned, my prior job at the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame really provided me with a broad and deep resource of information about women and girls in the state. But before I arrived at the Hall of Fame, they had actually published two books that were sheer lists of the achievements of women and girls. And so I went through those two books initially to see what I could glean from there. And then I found that I was, for whatever reason, I had a number of girls in the same category, and I thought, well, I want a little more variety than that. There are a lot of girls who have achieved greatness before the age of 20 in athletics and in the arts, but, you know, what else? What other areas? So then I just started reaching out a bit farther and also tried to get a wide distribution geographically of the stories. And for a time, I didn't have anything related to the Grand Rapids area, so I reached out to the Grand Rapids Women's History Council and said, you know, tell me about any girls that you're aware of that did something amazing before they turned 20. Mm-hmm. So I came up with two from that search with the Grand Rapids Council.
And some of the ones that were surprising to me that I didn't necessarily associate with Michigan, one of them was the Rosie the Riveter story. I didn't realize that had Michigan roots to it.
Mm-hmm. It did. And the young woman was, simply working, as many did in the wartime industries in Michigan. And she was actually a very new recruit to that job, but she was very photogenic. And when a professional photographer came by the factory to take pictures of the women's home front effort, he selected her as a model. And she became the person that we now associate with the We Can Do It poster for World War II.
Another one, Ella Mae Wilson. I had no idea that had Michigan roots and that we celebrate Memorial Day now across the country. And I'm sure probably most people wouldn't realize that began with a woman in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And she was, at the time, she was actually living in Virginia. Her father was a Civil War chaplain with a Michigan regiment there, and officers were allowed to have their families stay with them. So she, her sister and mother, had traveled from Michigan to Virginia to be with him. And, you know, they were daily faced with the challenges of a war being fought, you know, near where they were staying. And they were aware of the graves that were being prepared for both Union and Confederate soldiers. And Ella and her sister felt the need to do something to recognize the loss of life. So they collected flowers and they placed them on both Union and Confederate graves in the area in Virginia that they stayed. And they did it repeatedly over the years. And as the war ended, the practice that they had begun became adopted by other groups in other parts of the country, and eventually evolved into the Memorial Day celebration we practice today.
And then there are some that are still alive today that mm-hmm. most of us probably do know. Diana Ross, Serena Williams, some of these people. Was there any special challenge in writing about someone who is still alive today? Did you have to pass through them to write the stories?
The two that you mentioned have quite a few books written about them already, authorized and unauthorized, and obviously there's a great deal of information on the internet. I did try contacting them, but I didn't receive a reply, so I just proceeded with the information that I could confirm through outside sources. But at the end, I did send them copies of the book. I hope they enjoyed it. But Regina Carter, who is a jazz violinist and came from the Detroit area, she was very cooperative and interested in the project, and so the photographs that I use in the book to illustrate her came from her, another one of the living great girls, Tricia McNaughton Saunders, a professional wrestler. She had also been very cooperative in providing images and reviewing the text that I had provided to her, and, you know, was thrilled to be considered a great girl in Michigan history.
I'm curious, too, on what might have ended up on the editing floor. Did you find that you had to struggle to fill the slots, or was there a lot that ended up on the cutting floor for you?
Well, once I knew how long the essays were going to be, and I didn't, you know, I wanted them to be sort of short and enjoyable reads that a child could pick up the book, read a couple, put it back down, or read it cover to cover if they chose. Once I established that the length of the essay, that gave me an idea of how long the whole book was going to be. And the number 20, which is the number of the essays, really came about because of that. It was driven by the length of the book. I collected, as I mentioned, many other girls in similar fields that I didn't want to kind of overdo, like athletics and arts. So I really have those on reserve for what I hope, you know, what I will be tapped to do a second volume of this. And, you know, there are many more, again, in those two fields, but in others too. So I really hope that I probably have enough material for right now for another 10 girls, and I'm sure I could, you know, research and find another 10 to add to that for a full second volume.
I should probably mention Betty Ford, too, when I talk about the better-known stories.
Yes, when I've done book talks about these girls and I talk about five or six, I always mention Betty Ford, but of course I use her maiden name, which is Betty Bloomer. and that's not known generally to most of the children and even some of the adults that I've talked to. So I talk about this story of a girl who had a driving desire to be a dancer and had actually established her own dance studio as a teenager in Grand Rapids in her home, and went on to study with Martha Graham, one of the pioneers of modern dance. And then as I sort of roll out the tale, I talk about after she turned 20, she married a man that, you know, became a famous politician and was our 38th president, Gerald
Good
Ford.
Good punchline, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Because I think many people, you know, certainly many adults recognize Betty Ford as a pioneer in terms of women's health, you know, for her candor about breast cancer and also for her candor about addiction to prescription drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. and the development of the Betty Ford Center. And they probably recognize her contributions to the ERA movement or the movement to ratify the ERA amendment. But they may not have known that she had this strong desire to be a dancer and, you know, and unfortunately had to abandon that when it became clear she wasn't at the very top level, you know, of talent that was required for professional dancers.
Yeah, I have to say I didn't know about the dancing ambitions that she had either. So that you got me by surprise too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So what is your hope, that core message that you want these young girls? And we're talking about what, age 8 and
yes,
a few
it's
years?
Aimed at 8 and up, really through the middle school years.
And what's your core message? What do you want these young girls reading this book to understand?
Well, I think so many of us, both as adults and as children, read biographies. We read about famous people, but those people are usually in their adult phase of their life when these biographies are written. And I guess I wanted to do something for girls especially that would be inspirational because it was more a person of their age, a peer that they could relate to, not an older adult who, you know, obviously had risen to a high level, but someone their own age that had done something amazing even before they became an adult. And, you know, just to be an inspiration for doing your best and following your dream, and you can do it even as a child.
Yeah, you don't have to wait. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a particularly favorite story of your own among the collection, or?
I think I've got kind of related to most to Tricia McNaughton Saunders. Mm-hmm. She's the young girl who became a wrestler, and she really had incredible talent and wrestled against boys for so many years, then was prohibited from that when she reached high school before the era of Title IX. But she up later in her life and then became a world-class wrestler, which I just think is kind of amazing that she did hold on to that dream and then went on to succeed even as an adult. She actually graduated from the high school that my son graduated from, so I it's kind of the hometown girl here in Ann Arbor that resonated with me the most.
Well, thank you for speaking with us, Pat. Very enjoyable. And will you be visiting Kalamazoo?
I actually was there recently. I was at Kazoo Books recently, but I will be coming back to Kazoo Books in December when they have their author day.
Right
around the holidays.
Right around the holidays, Well, we'll have to drop by and see you.
I'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.